It's so good that we have this evening worship. Not for any other reason. Do you know what the reason is? Why we are here? Can you tell me the reason? Or you think it through yourself. Simply because this is the Lord's Day. And God has given us 7 days to live our lives, and He says, return to me one day. Just one in seven. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth and thy health. So this is my opening word to you. Now we have one of the most happy and also difficult chapters in Revelation 17. If you just open your Bibles there, please, and keep it there. In the days when I was still practicing medicine in Singapore, by the way, not here, I used to go around the various hospitals. And one thing that struck me was, in the Mount Alvernia Hospital, those of you who know Singapore will know it is a Roman Catholic hospital. The nurses are definitely a cut above the rest. They are kind, sympathetic, gentle, and they really show a lot of care and love to the patients. Now, that kind of a testimony is very powerful. And when you think and talk about this church, to imagine that this church is not a church is very difficult. What do you think? Do you think it's a church or a false church? True church or false? It's very difficult to understand. Very difficult to acknowledge. My friends, we live in an age of great deception. And the best deception, the most powerful and effective deception is imitation and counterfeit. When you have a false $50 note, for example, it looks exactly like the real thing. And so you accept it. But when you put it up, that vital water line and the mark is not there. Well, there are distinctive features of falsehood and truth. Do you know how to identify them? This church that we have been reading in Revelation 17, please open your books there. It is described as a great whore in verse 1. Now, do you understand what a whore is? It's a woman, except that she is immoral and not true to the husband, if she has one. But she is a deception. And in the Bible, the true church is described as the bride of Christ, which we are. You and I, as believers, are spiritually regarded as the wife of the Lamb. The Lamb is the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are the bride. And it is required of us that we remain chaste, pure, and faithful, which a whore is not. A whore is one that takes in all comers and agrees with all things as long as it pleases her. And this is a description of the end time church that will fill the whole world. What church is that? As I said, if you have worked with the Roman Catholic nurses, they're so impressive. He said they're filled with the love of Jesus Christ, and you say they're not Christian. The church is not Christian. How can it be? Do you understand? It's not easy. Reformation. is now all but forgotten. In fact, not just forgotten, it is not a welcome word, it is a bad word. For forces that favor Rome have been at work through the 300-400 years after the Reformation. There has been a counter-reformation movement that has gone on quietly. We do not see it. You don't understand it. But it is working quietly behind the scenes. So much so that today, the Reformation is regarded as a non-event. The Roman Catholic Church had a great council, 1962 to 65, that is some 50-odd years ago, or 40-odd years ago. And that council made drastic changes in direction and policy. Whereas before then, Roman Catholicism is one, and we Christians, Protestants, are regarded as Christians. Whenever there is a census or any kind of registration, what is your religion? It is clearly stated there, Roman Catholic or Christian, meaning Protestant. Very clear. When? Until 1965. Right? In my practice, when you have patients come in, we always record also their religion. What are you? From 1960s onwards, Roman Catholics have been taught Christians, no more division of Roman Catholics and Protestants. There is a change. In that great Vatican Council, it was decided that and instructed and taught from then onwards. Whenever mentioning the Reformation of the 16th century, please understand it was only a misunderstanding among brothers. Alright. Whereas until then, and before then, whenever you mention the Reformation, Protestants are regarded as enemies. And they are damned heretics. They will go to hell because they are out of the true church. After the council, there is a great change. Now there is a policy of reconciliation. They are Christians, so are we. We are all Christians. What are we? Brothers. Only separated brothers. And so, from time to time, the Pope will remind the whole world, there is only one true church. When it is the false church, they say, we are the only true church. And no church can be complete except be under us. Right? God has His timing. That in His sovereign will, in the 16th century and also slightly before them, before that time, God has sent His Holy Spirit to work among certain men of faith to wake up and to realize that the Roman Church was not delivering the gospel but was giving another gospel. Do you understand this today? Do you? Or do you regard them as another church, a true church of Jesus Christ? In the 16th century then, there was a awakening. Martin Luther went to Rome with great expectation. He was a German monk. And he thought, surely, in my religion, if it is God's gift, I'm going to see great things in Rome. So he went to investigate for himself. And to his horror and utter surprise and shock, he found that it was a city of debauchery, immorality, vice of the worst kind, flourishing, rampant everywhere. Among whom? Among the clergy, among the priests. Is it true still today? Practically. Every now and again we read. And now the Pope and the Vatican have to apologize. Yes, of course. Our men, our priests are human. And they do commit these errors. And every year the Roman Catholic Church pays out millions, if not billions of dollars in what? In court fees and other damages to aggrieved parties. Children especially that are molested. Why? Because of the system. What is the system? The system is one that enforces compulsory celibacy, which is anti the will of God and the law of God. All that the Word of God requires of us is, thou shalt not commit adultery. But God has given to us our sexuality. And the normal thing is for men and women to get married. One to one. Pure and unadulterated. That is the way. But no. Enforced celibacy. Female nuns remain as nuns by themselves in convents. And the male as priests. Burning away. Result is immorality. And this goes on. Now, we are not interested to dig up all the evil and the filth and the errors of that church. But it is a hard fact of life. When Luther went to Rome, his eyes were open. When he came back, there was the Tetzel selling indulgences. How to get your sins forgiven? Pay money. And you can pay money for future sins to be committed and have those sins absolved, forgiven. Amazing business. So this is a state until God sent His Holy Spirit into England. We are today, we try and focus mainly on England. In England, God raised a man before the Reformation. By 2 centuries, a man called John Wycliffe. Now, those of us who read into history will understand. Wycliffe woke up. Holy Spirit worked in him. He was a great man, a great scholar. But above all, he was a true champion of the gospel. And he says, my people must read the Word of God for themselves. So he translated. However, he translated from the Latin, the Vulgate, and translated, you know, one copy of Bible to be written, handwritten, in those days before printing, took 10 months. If one copywriter would sit there and do nothing but just copy, 10 months. Today, just something like 1 or 2 copies are available, preserved in the libraries and museums, and each copy will be worth anything like $10 million. That's just by the way. But it shows God had His timing. And there's awakening to the gravity of the situation. If you go to the church, you are at the mercy of the church. All you need to know is told by the priest, and you cannot have access to the Bible. It was an offense. Alright? The priest. And those priests are ignorant of the Word of God, but they only know the tradition and the teaching of the church, which is corrupt to the core. Then by the 16th century, God raised up the true, the timed servant of God, Luther, Martin Luther, who just questioned the practices and teachings of the Church of Rome by nailing his 95 theses, 31st October 1517. By the way, that is just 7 years ago. In 7 years, we shall remember the 500th anniversary of the posting of the 95 theses on the Church of Wittenberg. So, here we are. The first blow is sounded. God's people, awake! I say the same to us today. Awake. The general thinking and the climate today is one of love one another. Why are you so troublesome? You Bible Presbyterians, always giving trouble, always digging up other people's mistakes. You're so good and they are so not so good. Dear friends, here is the deception. It's not a case of we are good and they are not good. It's a case of true and not true. It's a case of what the God's Word teaches. What does God's Word teach that they do not teach? They teach traditions and the dogmas of the church. So herein was the awakening, reformation, a time of awakening to the truth and to pray for God to restore us to the true teaching of the Word of God. And how can you teach it except you have the Word of God? So those days was an awakening of the Scriptures. So out of that came the Holy Scriptures. For once, men were able to read for themselves because there was a man raised of God called Tyndale. Now this book that we hold in our hands, King James Bible, is 80 to 85% Tyndale. Do you know that? I never knew until we read the history. Here is a book that cost three men who suffered the fires of Rome for translating this book. Of course you say they did not actually translate this book, but no. This King James Bible is based on six other Protestant Bibles out of the same period of the Protestant event. And when they met together, and I'm going to go through this in detail on Saturday, but the translators that are appointed by the Royal Commission, King James I, took together all the previous translations, Wycliffe included, and the Great Bible, Geneva Bible, Coverdale Bible, Rogers Bible, and all of them together, they studied through. And then, of course, the best texts, now again, this will be left for Saturday, the Masoretic Old Testament in Hebrew and Aramaic, and the New Testament, the received text in Greek, and then all of these came out. Sola Scriptura, this book translated and written so that my people can read for themselves anytime, any day, anywhere. Anyone who knows English can read. Here it is, King James Bible. Now, as I said, I will not go further into the details of this, but Reformation was a reformation of the Word of God. A rediscovery of the Word of God. And so out of the Reformation came Sola Scriptura. What people ought to know is God's Word, not traditions of the church, not the laws of the church, not what the priest says, but what God says. So this is the Reformation, that God began to move and man began to respond. And when the Holy Spirit works in those men in that time, they were willing to read at the risk of their lives or to translate as Tyndale until he met the betrayal and then his death at the hands of the agents of Rome. Men were willing to pay even the price of blood, their own lives, just to read the Word of God or to transmit the word of God, or to translate the word of God. Sola scriptura. And out of that came sola fide. We are saved not by the works, not by what the priest says. We are saved by faith. The grace of God through faith. And that is what we still believe, because it is true. And God saves us by faith. Reformation is the great event when men turned to the Word of God and began to worship God in churches founded on the Word of God. Praise God. Now, let's look at Revelation chapter 17. Verse 1, it says, one of the angels who had the seven vials talked with me and said, come hither, I will show to thee the judgment of a great whore that sits upon many waters. Now the explanation of this is in verse 15. If you look at verse 15, and he said to me, the waters which you saw, where the whore sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Do you know that the Roman Catholic Church is the only church that is present in every country? In strength, every country, anywhere. It is established and very powerful. So, verse 1 says, I will show thee the judgment, because this great deceiver, the false church, will rule the world in a most wonderful, in the bad sense, with absolute power from the time of the Reformation, even before, and will continue until the end of time, to be judged by the returning Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, with this whore, the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Pure and true marriage is one to one. And with the bond of marriage before God, sanctified, clean, pure, holy, that is marriage. Fornication is the false teaching that is not approved by God. And this is how these kings of the earth have been lured and enchanted, as it were, by the false church. Do you know this? The Vatican has got diplomatic ties with over 130 nations. Diplomatic exchange. Herein is the fornication. You cannot afford not to have our favors. Yes. Every power must have a relationship with the Vatican. Last month, the Pope was visiting this country. I read in the newspapers. Do you know what that means? It's a softening of any residual resistance to Rome. Do you know that every Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury has pledged loyalty to Rome already for the last 50, 60 years, every one of them, from Archbishop Fisher to Runcie to the present Rowan, every one of them, all in their time, they pledged, we will return to Rome. That is our mother. And this trend is on. Reformation is forgotten. Reformation is a mistake. It's a misunderstanding. Why? Why do they say so? Because the whole country of England has fallen away. And we are going to talk about the falling away next week. Fallen into unbelief. In Singapore, I read that there are buses in London that carry placards. There may be no God. Have you seen that? Yeah, some have seen. there may be no God. They don't say there is no God, but they put a big doubt, there may be no God. And this goes round for millions of eyes to see and just say, there may be no God. And every school child who goes to school is taught evolution. And people remember what they hear and see and learn. And they say, well, no God. That's why Sunday has become so desecrated this century. In fact, it started last century. Under Victorian times, you could not buy or sell. Shops were closed. And people went to church. And people observed the Sabbath no more. Why? There is a falling away from the truth. So, Reformation, which brought about all the godliness in this country that made Britain great, has fallen away. Reformation is no longer mentioned. Those of our friends who come from other churches, let me ask you a simple question. Has your pastor preached on the Reformation and how we all ought to thank God and be grateful for that great event of spiritual awakening of the church by the Reformation leaders, have they? If you go to a BP church, this is our tradition every year. Remind ourselves, God did not forsake us, but in His good time sent people like Luther, Calvin, the theologian, the one who wrote all the doctrines for us, and others, Zwingli, and John Knox, and William Tyndale, all these heroes of the Reformation, give us our Protestant church and that Protestant tradition. Today, no longer. Because the times are such, we are flowing with the tide. What are the times? There is a great movement to the one world system. Where is the one world system? Alright, let's read on. It's very interesting. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now the ten horns would suggest that this immoral woman, which is the Roman Catholic Church, is politically allied with the Roman Empire. Ten horns. If you read in Daniel's prophecy, the ten horns refers to the fourth empire of history. And that is the Roman Empire. So this is my interpretation. Verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in handful of abominations and filthiness of her false religion for fornication. Do you know that the Roman Catholic Church and the Vatican is by far the biggest and the richest and the most powerful economic force in the whole world? Do you know this? Vatican billions are so great that you cannot count the money. That's why to them is no problem. If our priests are caught for sexual crimes and it costs so many billions, just pay. Nothing, no problem. Here is a very, very powerful world organization. It is not a church, dear friends. In the true sense of the word, for a church is composed of believers who form the body of Christ, who meet together for holy worship. This is not a church, it is a political, religious organization. Now, next verse is very interesting. Verse 5. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery! Why mystery? It's difficult to understand this church. You do not see the real character of that organization. All you know is it is a church. It's the Holy Catholic Church. And it is the biggest church. Go to Rome and see St. Peter's Basilica. Oh, how wonderful. And people fall in love with it. How I wish, they would say, I'm a member of this church. It's so great, so glorious, so wonderful, so amazing and powerful. I want to be a member of this church. They are deceived. Mystery. They cannot understand that. This is a succession of the first world movement, which we are going to read in a moment. What is this first world movement? Babylon the Great. What is Babylon in the ancient language? Do you know? It's Babel. It's the same word. Babel, Babylon. Okay. This is a revival of the ancient Babel. The first Babel was soon after the flood. One of the grandsons of Noah, called... What's his name? I can't hear you. Nimrod, of course. My mind plays tricks at times. Alright, we read Genesis chapter 11. If you turn there quickly, it is so interesting. Mystery Babylon is going to reveal itself. Then you'll understand what we are talking about. What is this mystery Babylon? Why is it a mystery? It is a mystery because people don't see through. They're deceived. It is counterfeit church. Not the true church, but it is described in Genesis 11. Verse 4 says, those ancient people, after the flood, got together as a group. They said, we will not disperse. We will remain together and be a united force. Let us build a city, a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. We will not be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord was displeased. He came down to see, and the Lord says, my, these people, how wicked they are. If we do nothing, they will grow worse and worse. Verse 6, and the Lord says, behold, the people is one. They have one language. Please note here. It is the language issue. At the end time, one language will be restored so that they could communicate. At that time, they could communicate because there was only one language. At the end time, there will be one language again. What language is it? That they can all communicate and understand each other. The language of the Antichrist Church is English. Please understand. It is the global lingua franca today. So by the language issue, that problem is solved. At that time, they could not get together to become one church or one group together because they couldn't communicate. Now, at the end time, they can. Alright. Verse 7. Let us go down and confound their language, so that they may not understand each other's speech. So the Lord scattered them. That was the first Babel. The first ecumenical movement. If you like to call it that, this is what it is. Do you know what ecumenical means? Oikoumene. Oikoumene is a Greek word. I'm not a Greek scholar, I'm told. Huh? And I think that is true. Oikoumene is one world. The one inhabited world. It refers to the ecumenical movement. And the ecumenical movement is now pervading the whole world in the thinking and planning of all the nations. How to prevent the next world war. Do you understand this? The next world war, if it comes, and the nations use what they have, there will be no life left on earth because it's nuclear. So think tanks and people who can try and figure out what to do have all arrived at one unanimous conclusion. One, have a world government, Babylon, that will unify the world so there will not be any need to fight nuclear war. Now we understand. Verse, back to Revelation 17. Mystery, Babylon the Great. Mystery you cannot understand because people don't understand. What is the meaning of Babel? And now it is called Babylon the Great. It's the same thing, except same thing in spirit, same thing in objective, that is to combine the world so that they have one common understanding, one common purpose, one common ambition, that is to continue to rule the world without having to fight and destroy themselves. This is the ecumenical movement. And here it is. Mystery, Babylon the Great. Mother of harlots, meaning all the religious. Do you know that whenever the Pope calls a prayer meeting for world peace, all the religions respond, all of them. All the Buddhists, the Muslims, and the Taoists, and everybody all come together. And Christians and Islam all come. And they respond to the Pope. Now read on. He is the head of this great church called the Mother of Harlots. All the false religions respond and they come together in the abominations of the earth. Who are the abominations? All the false anti-Christian, non-Christian groups come together. We see this happening from time to time. Under whose direction? It happens all the time. Starts with SCC about 1990 something. And every few years the Pope will say, let's have a prayer meeting for world peace. Everybody will flock there. Muslims, Hindus, Taoists, Japanese groups, as well as Christians all come and they pray together. Here it is, abominations of the earth. Verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now this system is going to become very powerful. Last year, about August, I wonder whether you read this piece of news. Mr. Obama was in Rome for the G8 meeting. And the Pope gave to him an encyclical. And the encyclical said this simply, Mr. Obama, it's time the world needs a new political organization with teeth underlined. Yes. Today we have a United Nations, supposed to unite all the nations, and it is proved to be nothing more than a glorified debating society. You go there to debate, to exchange ideas, to cast a vote, and that's it. There's a lot of talk, but no action. So, last year, the Pope gave to Mr. Obama encyclical letter, the papal letter, which says, look, recently we had that horrendous economic downturn when millions and billions of collapses and people thrown out of work because of some crooks in America and elsewhere. And all the world suffers. Let's not have this again, Mr. Obama. You got the power. Do you see two powers there? Number one is the Vatican. Number two is America. These two are the present leaders in world affairs. Two, just two. All right. Now, this combined is very powerful. But There is a power above all worldly and earthly powers who is ever in charge. The Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Do you remember what He said just before He ascended? Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, 20. I read to you, I just say to you. Jesus came to His disciples just before He ascended. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All right, that's verse 18. 19 says, go ye into all the world and teach all nations, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded. And number 20, lo, I will be with you. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ is all powerful. Every tongue will confess, every knee will bow one day at the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this great mystery Babylon is so powerful. As I said, he gave the encyclical to Obama. Now Obama, do something about it. I know you can, because you have the power. As when I have the power, I do my work, but you have to do yours. They will combine. Yes, this combination is world conquering. Now, who conquers what? Verse 14, the end of the story. These shall make war with the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? How can the Lamb fight? Oh, dear friends, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, says the resurrected Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus, who died for us on the cross, who rose the third day, and who's coming again. And He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. These shall make war with Him, the Lamb that giveth His life to save the world. The Lamb shall overcome them, for He is the Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are with Him are called, are chosen and faithful. Dear friends, question, are you with Him? Are you truly with Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you and for me, is looking for faithful men and women today. Very hard to find, very hard. Because everybody wants to go with the crowd, with the ecumenical trend. The ecumenical boat is so welcoming. The ecumenical stream is so big, just flow with the tide. What did Jesus say? Not everyone that says to me on that day, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. Not everyone. Only they who do the will of my Father. And what is the will of my Father? Get on to the narrow way. Narrow the gate, straighter the way. Is a difficult way, but it is the only way to life. Broad is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction and death. And that is the broad way of ecumenical. I read to you verses 14 and 15 and we conclude. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for our Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of lords, King of kings. And they that are with Him, may you be with Him, dear friends. It is my prayer. I hope your prayer to pray. Yes. What do you pray? You pray. Let us make it our prayer every day. Lord, may I be found faithful on your side. Though we may be few in number, make sure you have not wrong in doctrine, in beliefs. For faith only saves. Faith only overcomes. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, who rose, who is coming again, who is Lord of lords and King of kings. Verse 15. Right. The waters which you saw, where the horde sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the whole world will go after this wicked, immoral lady, which is the Church of Rome. They will gather all their forces, and the Lamb will overcome that evil woman. May you be found with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, grant to us spiritual discernment and understanding. May your Holy Spirit teach us, open to us thy truth, that we, following after the Lamb and serving him, may yet find the greatest victory and triumph of all time, that we may be part of that victory. Hear our prayer. Bless your people. In Jesus' name. Amen.